Imagine with me for just a minute. You're sitting by a beautiful stream. You can feel the breeze passing through your hair. You can hear the rustle of the leaves of the trees and the rolling of the gentle waters. And it's such a serene moment in your lives. But then all of a sudden, things begin to change. The sky begins to darken and gray, and you feel the cool breeze turning into a harsh wind. And snow begins to fall and completely destroys the beauty that is around you when you were sitting there under the clouds. But then all of a sudden, it stops and it changes again. And again, the greenery returns, the beautiful sounds of the birds chirping, and all is well in your life. I want to suggest to you that what you have just experienced is an example of many people's Christianity. For you see, sometimes we treat our Christianity, and it is a wonderful thing. And it will run smooth. It will be serene. It will be wonderful. And then all of a sudden, because we allow other things to come into our lives, our Christianity becomes hurtful. It begins to snow or to storm, and things begin to be difficult for us. But then all of that will go away, and it is good once again. Basically, what I'm saying is, many people have Christianity in their lives that will have extremes. Extreme highs and extreme lows. Sometimes our Christianity is hot, on fire. And then sometimes our Christianity is cold. The question is, how do we get our spiritual lives on an even keel? How do we make continued process or progress and get away from the extreme peaks, the highs, the valleys, and the lows that characterize so many spiritual lives? In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, the Israelites, during the time of Hosea, had turned their lives away from God. Their history, their entire history, is characterized by hot and cold spiritual lives. Their valiant service to God was great at times, but then it would be followed by outright spiritual adultery, rebellion against God and His Word. After God would allow them to be oppressed, they would cry and beg for mercy, and then God would deliver them and bring them back to fruition. And this process repeated itself time and time again throughout the history of the Israelites. The scriptures tell us of at least 10 different occasions that the Israelites turned away from God and they had to go into captivity or oppression and beg for mercy from God before He would bring them out. And finally, it got to the point to where their crying became in vain because their hearts were not pure and their motives to trust God and to serve God was not sincere. Now, David made a reference to this in Psalm 78, beginning with verse 34. When he killed them, they sought him. They repented and sought God earnestly. They remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God as their Redeemer. But they flattered Him with their mouths and lied to Him with their tongues. Their heart was not steadfast toward Him, and they were not faithful to His covenant. This is paralleling what has happened in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. To paraphrase that passage of Scripture, it is saying, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us down that He may heal us. He struck us down and He will bind us up. Let us press to know the Lord. And then God finally says, "What will I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud and the dew that goes away early." Now the question is, how do we keep this from happening to us? How do we keep from bouncing back from the spiritual highs and then going to spiritual lows? How can we keep that from happening to us as God's people? Well, I think there are several things that we need to understand. First of all, we need to understand that we need to give God undivided loyalty. God expects from us undivided loyalty. We can go back again to Hosea chapter 6 and the first three verses. The words of the Israelites, they were empty words. They were vain. You might say in modern terms, they were filled with hot air. And God had become exasperated with his people. He wanted people that would give him true love. He wanted people that would give him loyalty. He wanted people that he could be merciful to, that he could show love and kindness to. And God was grieving at the fact that he did not have this kind of love with his chosen people. The children of Israel were God's chosen people. They were the vessel that would bring to the earth Jesus Christ, his only son. Wholehearted commitment on their part was very rare. It was almost unseen at times. And oh yeah, they would begin to cry and they would have tearful confessions of sorrow and they would regret their actions when they would turn against God. But they never followed through with those regretful actions. They would always turn back against God again. And finally God says, "What will I do with you? Judah, what will I do with you?" Israel's loyalty was as fleeting and as changing as the illustration that I just showed you at the beginning of the sermon. The morning mist and the dew evaporates, and the storms appear in your Christian life and covers the ground with snow. And the next day, it's gone. Is your Christianity really like that? This is in direct contrast to what God is expecting from us as his children. You know, God was absolutely faithful to the Israelites. Just like today, he is absolutely faithful to us. His faithfulness had been demonstrated time and time again with great regularity. Yet, with Israel, when the feelings of remorse wore off from their actions, they turned against God again, and God was forgotten. So the question is, what about you today? Is your Christianity like the Christianity of the Israelites in the days of Hosea? How devoted are we? Do we serve God with a deep sense of loyalty, or do we serve him one day and then forget him the next and expect God to be okay with that? You know, Jesus said that our love should be so great. It should be the greatest thing. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he says, this is the greatest commandment. This is the greatest thing that we can do for God, is to show him our love, and not through word only, but also through our actions as well. As Paul said, we have to put off that old man concerning our former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. We need to get away from the spiritual high peaks and the spiritual valleys of our Christianity. We need to remember that we are God's child. We are an heir of promise. God has promised us so many things as his children. But it is only going to come to those who love him, to those who obey him, and to those who will serve him, and for those who will not hold on to the world. That was the Israelites' problem. They wanted to hold on to that world. They just simply could not let it go. And we have people like that today. We have people like that in the church today. People who want to be recognized as a child of God. Those who want to people to think that, yes, I love the Lord. Yes, I want to serve Him. Yes, I want to live for Him. But then there's this piece of the world over here in the corner that they just simply cannot let go of. And when we think about that, it can put us in a spiritual rut. And friends, when you put yourself in a spiritual rut, you are headed for a spiritual grave. Next, we need to understand that God expects more than minimal service. Have you ever asked yourself questions like this? How little can I do and still be pleasing to God? How many services of worship can I miss deliberately and still be pleasing to God? How can I tend to all of my physical desires and my physical wants and still put my spirituality where it needs to be? Can I even do that? Well, of course, the answer to that is no. How little can I do? How shallow can I be? How superficial can I be with my religion? And God accept me. You see, serving God with minimal service tells us several things about ourselves. First of all, it tells us that we actually have a poor relationship with our God. Not necessarily with the preacher or the other members, the other workers of the church, but with God. You know, I actually had one lady come up to me and tell me on one occasion that she and I didn't click as a preacher and a member ought to click. Well, that confused me for a while. Then I began to observe this lady. She never walked through the door to come to service until after we had started. And you could still hear the echo of the closing prayer, amen, and she was going out the door. She had no intention of clicking with me. She had no intention of clicking with anybody here. She was interested in being out there. Coming here was an inconvenience for her. How do you deal with things like that? Serving God with minimal service suggests that we really have a low appreciation of our salvation from sin that God has given to us. God has gone to great extent to give us the salvation that we have, the forgiveness of our sins, and the hope of living with Him in heaven. He paid a tremendous price so that that could happen. How much do we appreciate that by serving Him in return? Serving God with minimal service suggests a weak desire to go to heaven. You know, we actually have people in the church today who really don't believe heaven actually exists. Listen, folks, God is not going to force us to serve Him. God is not going to force us to love Him. But then at the same time, God is not going to accept us if we don't. Minimal service is not enough. And then we need to understand something else. We need to understand that scriptures demand more than just a five-step salvation. Y'all remember this illustration from a few weeks ago? I shared this with you. This is an illustration that my wife and my daughter teaches to their children in their Bible classes. This is the five steps of salvation. You hear the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. You repent of your sins. You confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And you are baptized into Christ. And you come out of that baptism as a new creature in Christ. And every one of us in this room who are Christians have done this. Because it is the only way that you can be a Christian. But it doesn't stop here. There is so much more to Christianity than what the hand teaches on the screen. In other words, We've got to move away from the foundation of our belief, and we must be able to grow. You know, Peter tells us that we must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. And this is not an option. This is something that must happen. And it did not happen for the Israelites in the day of Hosea. They wanted the foundation. But that's all they wanted. They was not looking for growth. They was not looking to increase their faith. They was not looking to move forward as a follower of God. And it is so sad to say that we have people in the church today that do the very same thing. My friends, we can't pick and choose how we want to obey God. We can't pick and choose what laws we want to follow and what laws we want to ignore. And we need to understand that. We must do everything that we possibly can to become stronger as God's child. We also need to understand that God is calling us to do all of these things. He is calling you to be His disciple. He is looking for you to be like Him. He wants you to look upward, not outward, not downward, not inward, but upward in your life. We have so many privileges and so many blessings in the Lord, and it's only because He is offering them to us, and He is offering them to us based upon our obedience to His Word. And we are called to be His. We are called to be His disciple through the gospel of Christ. We're not called through a dream. We're not called through a feeling that we have. We're not called because of signs and wonders that we think we may see. You know, you can turn on the TV today and you would have seen men attempting to do the signs and the miracles that Jesus did and that the apostles did in the days of the early church, claiming to be able to do the very same thing, and it does not work that way. You will have people telling you that you can feel God, and you through your feelings you can know that you are saved. It doesn't work that way either. God doesn't give us dreams and visions anymore to tell us about our salvation. He has given us the Word, and only the Word. And that's what we must use to obey Him and to serve Him. Teaching comes through the gospel of Christ. Paul says it, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, we are called by the gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is done through the Word, through listening, through meditating upon the Word, through understanding the Word, and through applying the Word in our life. So I ask you tonight, my friends, is your faithfulness like a morning cloud that comes and goes? Is your Christianity beautiful and serene 1 minute and tempestuous the next because you can't steady your life as a Christian? God has always desired a close, meaningful relationship with mankind. But yet, many still turn away from Him. Many people still rebel against Him and walk away from Him. I ask you tonight, my friends, will you turn away from God's face? Will you walk away from Him? Will you choose to rebel against Him? If you serve Him with minimums, that's exactly what you're doing. And if you serve Him with minimums, there will be no reward for you. If you have been giving God the minimums of your life, you need to repent and give God your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, He said. I will take care of all the other things. They will be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. If there is any one verse that we should follow in the Bible, if we had to just choose one verse to follow, that would be the one. Put God first. and he will put everything else into place. So tonight, my friends, as a Christian, if your faithfulness is like the morning cloud that comes and goes, you need to change your Christianity. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, you need to give him your life. Obey his word. Serve him with your best. Don't give him the minimum. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we sing this song.